Stress, most people think, is something, an elephant in a room. But really, stress is your response to something. So most people think stress is something like, I have an accident, or I lost money, or people think that's stress. But really, it's not. That is an environmental kind of trigger. In the stress response is your reaction or action to that thing. So if you become reactive, you become more on the stress side. If you've been exposed to it before and developed system to improve your response to stress, then you act instead of react. Does that make any sense at all?
It does.
Really?
So most people think stress is something, but stress is really nothing except your reaction. So I could be exposed to same environmental thing. It's not stressing me out, but it may be stressing you out. Okay, so it's an environmental change that causes us to react. And that's the stress response. Does that make sense? Why do we have the stress response anyway? Well, the stress response is because we are here equipped for one thing and one thing, or maybe one or two things and two things, really, one or two things only. And one is to survive. It's really survivorship. So that stress is because you want to survive. I know you like what I say, Amir. I really do. He really said, what is that woman talking about? But this is
no, you got me. You got me. Yep.
Yeah, I can see your eyes. So when you talk about the key to stress is survivorship. So if you don't understand that survivorship is key to surviving, we're supposed to come here and survive. The other thing that is important for us is to really procreate. We are here to perpetuate life. So those are the two things really that are governing everything. We should survive and we should perpetuate life. Why is it that important? Is that when you strive and you grow to that critical time where you're able to be productive. Once you, and it's sad, and I don't want anybody to get upset with me, but once you're productive, you really are not needed anymore. You finish your job on the planet, is to make more children. Then your hormones decline, your everything declines. So we have lived now, we're surviving longer. So we have been able to use optimization of hormones. We can call it hormone replacement, but it's better to optimize hormones to make us survive and thrive beyond that peak period that we're productive. So if you think about survivorship, you'll understand that we are equipped for survivorship. So what are the things we need to survive? You need a set of genes that respond to your needs for survivorship. So if you are in a situation where you are meeting a lion, you turn on special genes that then transcribed into a certain protein that is transcribed into a certain metabolic pathway that becomes function. And the function of that is to help you survive, right? So under stress, you are gonna really turn on the genes that are helping you to survive. What are the genes would be? The genes that work on speeding the heart rate, the genes that would help you to not go urinate or pee while you're having to get away. Okay, the blood flow is gonna go to the most important organs during that time. So it really shifts a lot of things. It speeds up your metabolism, it speeds up the heart rate, it gives you bigger contractility of the heart. It makes sure that you do have relative ischemia, which is low blood, in certain areas of the body. in favor of the areas that are important for survivorship. So the gut is going to have relative ischemia. The skin is going to have relative ischemia because you want the heart to work and you want the brain to work. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
So the genes that govern certain hormones are going to be turned on. So 25% of the entire gene system or genome is governed by one hormone, which is the cortisol, which is crazy. Like wow. 1/4 of all your genes are turned on with by turn on or off by cortisol. So if you're under stress, there is things that do happen. You are going to be using, creating cortisol too high or too low, but also you're going to create a high level of adrenaline or noradrenaline, which really needs as part of the composition dopamine. Okay. Now the dopamine, if under stress, now you need to remember that the dopamine needs a certain amino acid. I can answer questions instead of just talking.
I think you were just about to say. So dopamine, when it's being used to make adrenaline and noradrenaline, will people then have lower dopamine in the nervous system?
Okay, so what happens really, it's really not dopamine, is the one amino acid that is called tyrosine. And the tyrosine is an amino acid that is important to make thyroid, to make adrenaline and noradrenaline, and to make dopamine. So these three systems depend on a pool of tyrosine, okay? So under stress, guess what's gonna happen? All the tyrosine that is gonna be needed is gonna be used to create adrenaline and noradrenaline. So relatively, you're gonna have a deficiency of that particular amino acid to create dopamine or to create thyroid, right? So you become hypothyroid and you become dopamine depleted and you have mood disorders. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
So there is a competition for the amino acid tyrosine because you have just one pool. What we don't understand, we have a budget of whatever it is, especially if you are eating a tyrosine poor diet. So if you have a tyrosine poor diet, you already are at a disadvantage. So under stress, guess who's gonna react more? A person with the relative tyrosine deficiency because they're not eating the right protein that gives them that particular amino acid, or a normal person. So your reaction to stress is gonna be also based on your diet, is going to be based on your emotion, is going to be based on what we call toxic load, okay, or stress load. Now, if I have a bucket and I have this much stress in the bucket, then I have that much reserve to do good. If I have a bucket, but I have that much stress here, I'm getting closer to have a problem and I'm using all the tyrosine that I can. Now, if we have a bucket and we're overflowing, then we are depleting the system completely. So as long as your body is capable to to deal with the deficiency, you have homeostasis, okay? You're able to continuously reach a balanced level. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. Well, and automatically leads to this question. What foods contain tyrosine and how can people make sure they are getting enough of that?
Well, a lot of good cheeses will have tyrosine. Now, contrary to most people think, fish and meats would have tyrosine, eggs would have it, But most people are vegan or vegetarians, which makes them especially vegan if they don't have eggs or they're not pescatarian. The tyrosine level, it may be low. So you really want to have a diet that is healthy and rich in tyrosine. Okay.
But are there any plant sources of tyrosine? Like how could a vegan keep their tyrosine high?
They will, but it's not going to be enough. And especially if people are eating that protein, I would recommend that people at least try to add eggs to their food or cheese, because fermentation of these, like more fermented cheeses, like blue cheese, would be very rich in tyrosine. Well, it's a protein, right? So if you're eating a carbohydrate-rich diet, you're not having proteins. So you're not having this amino acid. Now, can you get amino acid supplementation? Yes. But is that what you want? I don't know. Because you really do not know how much L-tyrosine you need. Too much of it can cause really high thyroid. It can cause anxiety and stress. It can cause rapid heart rate. It really, because you have an excess of that. So you may be turning on the production of epinephrine, norepinephrine, and dopamine, as well as thyroxine. So, you know, it just, you gotta be understanding that balance is very important. So now, if we go back to stress, is really what we need to talk about. Most people don't understand what stress is. We talked about it's a response to an environmental change. It's an environment change. And it's really important for survivorship to really maintain a balanced place. Now, like the Starling Law, that really, when you stretch the heart enough, you are having a great response. So a little bit of stress is called acute stress. The acute stress help you to stimulate the production of certain genes that would really help you to be alive, healthy. And it's like a muscle. It's like a muscle that is improving. And it's a conversation between the genes and the environment. If that stress becomes chronic and it causes that overflow, then it really would create massive issue. So you're gonna turn on the cortisol either too high or after you get fatigued too low. So I don't want to be too technical because it's going to be confusing to people, but we have sets of genes that are a blueprint. The genes are very wealthy of every gene that is necessary for you to survive. Okay? So any trigger from the outside environment create a response to either turn on those genes to transcribe them to create more of the proteins that are necessary for you to be able to survive. You know, you turn on, but understand if you're doing it for too long and you have relative ischemia to the gut for too long, you're gonna have GI problems. You're gonna have all sorts of colitis-like symptoms, or you have dyspepsia, or you have, leaky gut syndrome. So all that happens from the relative ischemia that is happening as a result of stress. Now, what else happens during stress? You cannot make sex hormones. Imagine if a lion is trying to attack you, would you be able to have sex? No, it's taken away. So it's turned off, right? So GI things are turned off. Kidney blood flow is turned off. Skin blood flow is turned off. Guess what's going to happen to the skin? Guess what's going to happen to the gut? Guess what happens to sex organs? So high cortisol make you create something called the cortisol steel. So, you know, the cholesterol is what gives us a chance to have either sex hormones or cortisol. So cholesterol can be either sex hormone or cortisol. If you're pushing every cholesterol to go toward the production of cortisol, what is going to happen? Your cortisol steals everything from producing sex hormone, including testosterone, estrogens, and progesterone. So if those are deficient, you have issues, you suffer. What kind of suffering? So hormones, are they not important for longevity? They're very important. Sure. So if you are depleting the source of estrogens and testosterone or progesterone at the expense of creating more cortisol so you can survive, you're stealing that away. Are you going to age gracefully or are you going to age fast? Going to age fast. So, all right. No, I mean, do you have questions?
No, Patty, I have a few, but I let Patty start. I took some notes.
Oh yeah, I'm taking notes too, right? So cholesterol, if people want to make sure they have the right amount of cholesterol, it got a bad rap for a while.
Sadly.
How do people make sure that they have enough cholesterol in their body that they're able to make the cortisol they need and also the sex hormones that they need?
Increase the awareness that cholesterol is not a bad guy. It's the kind of cholesterol in your body that is a bad guy. Okay, so you could have genetic predisposition for a stickier cholesterol. Okay, but really the production of cholesterol, the cholesterol is so important because all the brain cells are made of cholesterol. All the cell membranes are made of cholesterol. All the sex hormones are made of cholesterol. Cortisol is made of cholesterol. So if you don't have an adequate amount of cholesterol, you really are going to be suffering. And if you have a cortisol steer, you're not making sex hormones. And on top of that, if you restrict cortisol, cholesterol, you're going to make the cortisol steal even worse, because you have no cholesterol at all to go on that pathway. So you have that much cholesterol, same thing as the reserve you have with tyrosine. That's all what you got. That amount goes to cortisol production or sex hormone production. Now, if we start with this much, it will go to cortisol. Are you gonna have anything for sex hormones? If you don't have sex hormones, do you age or don't age?
That actually begs the question. So how do people make sure they have enough cholesterol? And this is a big rabbit hole for vegans, vegetarians, or there's also this notion that we don't have to eat cholesterol, dietary cholesterol, in order to make cholesterol. So how does a person know how to optimize their cholesterol intake?
Well, number one, we got to overcome all the myth that we've had. Remember, at some point in our life, they said the staple of our food should be all the carbohydrate. And then gradually we understood, no, it's not exactly right. You really have to have more protein, more fats, and less carb. So we got to really be vocal. We got to say, hey, listen, cholesterol, it can be a friend. Too lack of it is not okay. Like everybody who has considerably cholesterol issue, they really don't realize it maybe have testosterone blockade. You know, you're not making enough testosterone. That pathway is not working. So you increase the cholesterol because it's not going. You have that pool and you're not using that pool. What's going to happen to that cholesterol? It's going to accumulate. So really helping that pathway to work may be a good thing, okay? So if you're under a tremendous amount of stress now and your cortisol, you become fatigued. So you're not even making cortisol anymore, right? Are you going to make, what is going to happen to that small amount of cholesterol they have? They accumulate. Make sense? So under a tremendous amount of stress, right? You eventually become cortisol poor. That's what we call fatigue. Mm-hmm. When you're cortisol poor, it means your body is stopping the genes to convert cholesterol into more cortisol. So the cholesterol that you already have that may be natural and normal has never gone down. So it's relatively high to what it needs to be because it's not converting. Okay. So if you have a genetic predisposition to not converting to begin with, was one copy of the genes, because you have got a copy from your mom and you copy it from the dad. And if one of them is malfunctional, then the other one, so you're not able to convert it to step one to get to cortisol. If you already have a compromise there, and now you're under more stress and you're not making cortisol. So eventually you are going to be depleting the cortisol at the expense of increasing the cholesterol. The job of cholesterol is to either become sex hormone. It's like the building block for either sex hormone or cortisol or both, right? Under active stress, then the beginning of the stress response, you make a lot of cholesterol, right? You make a lot of cortisol, right? Under the acute phase, you make a lot of cortisol. And eventually you stop making any cortisol, right? So initially you have a cortisol steal that steals away from sex hormone, but eventually you stop making cortisol because your adrenals are already fatigued. So your cholesterol accumulates. So you think under less stress, would you be able to adjust more? If you help the adrenals, wouldn't you really be able to help the cholesterol issue? Does that make sense? Second is to learn that when they do the testing, they need to know which cholesterol is up. Is it the small particle cholesterol or is it the large particle cholesterol? It's HDL. So they fractionate the cholesterol to see what part is the problem. So if you have a lot of small particle cholesterol, they become sticky. And that's where you have a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that you talked about the genetic predisposition for converting the cholesterol. So is there a test that someone can do to see?
Yes, we do genetic testing. And these are massive amount of genes that we check. And some of them have to do with hormonal formation. Some of it have to do with methylation. And all this work together. Some of them has to do with dopamine production. And they all work together in conjunction to create the proper thing. So everything is influenced by what genes did I turn on because of the environmental stressor.
And I think one big key takeaway, I guess, from what you're saying is that it seems like it's they all influence each other in such a way that if somebody thinks that it kind of hears that and think, what should I do? And they know they have a lot of stress for an ongoing period of time. Probably the best thing to do is just to go and get tested in a functional setting when they're looking at everything and other.
And do it exactly.
Doing rather than testing. Yeah, rather than going to Amazon and order some tyrosine or even vegan, kind of going to say, oh, maybe I need to eat meat now because I'm the cholesterol and all this, and maybe it's not even that at all. They need to test and know. Yeah.
And then you have plant sterols, that the cholesterol that come from plant, and those are very good because if people have very high cholesterol, they can eat take supplements that have plant sterols in them, and that would help them to adjust the cortisol level.
The adrenal. You're talking about things like sal palmetto and pumpkin seed oil, things like that. Mm-hmm. The beta sitosterol, right?
And then, okay. Yes. And some of them are plant, yes. And plant sterols are coming from plants. They have the same sterol ring. And they would help you to adjust the level a lot of good omegas, omega-3, especially 3, would also help you to get over high cholesterol. But anything that helps you convert your cholesterol into cortisol or helps you convert cholesterol into sex hormones is really an answer as well.
Are there any agents that help to do that, sort of to intelligent agents and helps to regulate that conversion?
The body is the smartest thing there is. It just, as I said earlier, when you overflow the body with the toxins and the stress and you start, okay, there's one thing that I really want to point here that is really important. And that is our genes have not adapted fast enough to the change in the environment we have. It takes thousands of years for the genes to adapt and mutate to become responsive to what is happening. So the genetic makeup we have still stems from the fact that we were flying away from lions. So when I am at the weakest point and the limbic system, which is the primitive brain, is taken over under stress, maladaptive stress, your primitive brain works, okay? So that's why you're very excited. So when your primitive brain has the genes that are working on the primitive brain or the genes that are regulated by the primitive brain is seeing, you can say, Dalel, I don't like you, okay? You still trigger the same genes that when I saw a lion, I had to turn all the same genes. So what I'm saying is our genetic makeup or blueprint has not adjusted enough to, because recently we had a fast-paced change in everything. Everything is changing so fast that our genomic commands have not adapted. So you don't have enough adaptation.
Yeah, it's sort of that the future human is here, but the body that we have is not equipped to address that properly. There's a gap, and this is where the evolution is, and the intelligence of life is going to take place. But like you said,
it's not catching up
overnight. Yeah,
it's not catching up fast.
I think you're going to ask.
It goes in a pretty particular direction, which is how, if somebody is under stress, like how do they shift from a maladaptive stress response into a more adaptive stress response?
Okay, so we talked about homeostasis, but there is something called allostasis. It's how much reserve do you still have? And that reserve is based on a lot of things. Some of the things are sleep. If you're not have a good circadian sleep pattern, you're already allostatically depleted. You're already at a disadvantage. Okay, if you're not eating properly, you're also at allostatic depletion because you are not eating properly. If you don't have enough love in your life, and if you don't feel comfortable to know that you're not always attacked, it's not an attack. It's just a criticism that may be very innocuous. You know, there is a lot of problems right now because people, we have a global economy right now. So imagine you are coming from Japan and I'm from this country here, the US, or I'm originally from Egypt, or whatever that is. You have your genetic makeup is different. So Japanese are, so the reaction to stress is maybe different. So what I say to a Japanese person may not be as offensive if I say it to you. If I say it to you when you're very inflamed, it's not the same. If I say it to you when you have so much no reserve. So allostasis is very important. And allostasis depend on sleep. Allostasis depend on good food. Allostasis define about comfort. And that's really very important to really be allostatically also balanced, not homeostasis is what the body does to really reach a homeostatic level, which really is state of balance. But allostasis is tell you reserve you have in order for you to be able to maintain that balance. So if you're allostatically overloaded, there's not much you can do. So you need to keep enough reserve. That's what allostasis is. Once you exceed the need, when I need more tyrosine, because now I am dopamine deficient, I am thyroid deficient, and I am need to create more noradrenaline and adrenaline. So I create a relative poverty in tyrosine. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is that going to be a good article?
Yeah, it'll be multiple good articles.
So what else do you all need? So one other thing that is important is to understand stressors. So if we said stress is a response to environmental issues, but what are those environmental issues that we can discuss? So you have internal environmental issues and you have external environmental issues. Most people think stress is external environmental issues. But let me tell you, if you're constipated, that's a stressor. Okay, people don't even know that. If you have pain, that's a stressor. If you're not feeling loved, that's a stressor. Okay, if you are having a heart problem, that's a stressor. If you have an infection, that's a stressor. So stressors that, if you have toxins in your body by eating the wrong food, if you have digestive issues, those are also equal stressors that you are, we call them hidden stressors. Why? Because people don't even know that these are stressors. Most people, if you ask them, are you constipated? They'll say no, but they're pooping every other day. That's constipation. They're pooping every third day. And guess what? Most of us are, because it's not priority, is it? But if you don't poop three times a day, at least once a day, you're already in trouble, because that creates a stressor. So if your body is allostatically already stressed by the internal environment, a small touch, is it not, they say, the straw that broke the camel back? Okay, the camel is already allostatically overloaded. And then you tell them good morning, but it's not the way they like it. Now they react in a survivorship mode. They turn on all the survivor genes that will shift the blood, that will stop the GI thing. It will stop the sex areas. It will stop the blood flow to the skin. So what happens to the skin? It becomes sick. All these people who have all these rashes.
I just want to say one key takeaway also that I think people that are into anti-aging must understand this and hear it. And it's not trivial to a lot, but all the hormone replacement therapy, when people go and they test their testosterone, they test their growth hormone and say, okay, it's low, I'm going to take more. Maybe they should consider seeing if there is a stress that it over chronic stress that and that's the cause of these, instead of masking those low levels with and by taking those hormones. So it is possible that they would address the stress and then their testosterone is going to go up or their growth hormone is going to go up. And these are anti-aging hormones, if you will, because they're, I don't need to tell you. There's like most people are that into longevity. They always go to this rabbit hole of those hormones because.
But also you go to people who don't understand these hormones and all what they do is they treat numbers. You don't treat numbers, you treat the whole system. My concern sometimes with functional medicine or integrative medicine, we're still having the Western mentality approach that really still is based on one size fits all, which is really not truly exact. Also, the immune system and the stress response system. So again, stress is stress response. It's what your body responds to it, and it has to do with your mental understanding of this is a threat or not a threat, okay? So if you consider me saying to you, what's going on with you, Amir? If you consider this a threat, then your body response to that causes the stress response. Make sense? So when under stress, acute stress, your cytokines that are released are not pro-inflammatory cytokines. They help the immune system. When you ask, is low stress, is a little bit stress good? Yeah, it really helps production of the and create the reserve that is ready to go for you if you have a threat. So you're creating, you're turning the gene enough to create the protein to stay in small binding proteins that would help them to be released quickly if needed to be, okay? The neurotransmitter are created until you create more, right? So that little small stress is gonna be creating the reserve for you. But the long-term stress create pro-inflammatory chemicals called cytokines that are really creating more inflammation, more leaky gut, more destruction. So small stress helps your immune system. Bad stress, chronic stress, stress response, okay, that is really bad, really creates pro-inflammatory state.
Do we want to maybe to talk about some of the tips to optimize stress? We talked about the holistic view of the diet and the sleep, etc. But let's say somebody hears this and they realize, okay, she's right, I'm stressed. Where do I start? Is there something I can do, like a meditation or tools or some tips that people that can read it, they can start right now because they realize, okay, I'm stressed.
The first thing is to stop. We need to learn to stop for a minute. Ooh, stop, 1 minute. That, when you stop, is really the first step to a healing. Then when you stop, you're able to listen to your body, to the environment, you react differently, okay? Second is breathing is the key to really achieve the inner calmness and heal. So if you train yourself to breathe in and breathe out, and you hold and you breathe out, there is a reason it's called inspiration. And there's a reason it's called expiration. You know, expiration is get rid of all the toxins. You don't get rid of all the emotional toxins during the expiration moment, you really are not improved. So during every minute, you're able to get life in, inspiration, and expire, in the, which means almost death, 13 times a minute. If you're taking advantage of that, you are helping the body to really achieve calmness, okay? So that's one thing. Find ways to laugh. Laughter helps you to overcome stress. Sleep helps you to overcome stress. You can't sleep if you're not creating a ritual to help you sleep. You can't sleep if you're not exposed to the sun during the day. You have to be able to be exposed to bright sun during the day and severe darkness at night. Otherwise, melatonin cannot be produced. Melatonin is the most anti-aging drug there is. It's more important than even growth hormone. Growth hormone is only produced when melatonin is produced. You probably have enough for two articles already.
I think I'm really geeking out here because it's super inspiring. I think, is there any name for that technique of breath you mentioned, of breathing you mentioned?
You know, there is so many, but really, I think people teach you stuff, but really the main thing is for you to achieve it by breathing in as deep as you can. You hold, and then whether you do this through a meditation, through a to listening to meditative music, to be in the nature, you know, to what matters is really to be able to know that breathing is everything.
It's actually so beautiful that you said it, because I sometimes remind myself that if I'm breathing, that is a proof that life flows through me. And then I'm not separated from everything else, because if life goes through me, well, obviously everything else I witness is life too. So that kind of helps me. I know it sounds silly, but it's so profound when you're in that state that you kind of realize I'm connected to actually everything up here. And it all started with just acknowledging and appreciating the breathing.
So anything that helps you to achieve an alpha wave is the best thing. We live in a beta wave continuously. You got to be able to slow that brain wave down, whether it's breathing or meditating or driving and you're not thinking. Most of the driving happens subconsciously. Because you develop the system, and during that moment, you're in a beta alpha wave. So anything that helps you to calm that brain is really key. I've already made every one of us here, including me, feeling better. It was just me doing that.
I felt it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think all of us felt it.
Yeah.
Including me, I'm telling you.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah.
Patty, we have 10 minutes. Are there any other questions you would like to ask?
Let's see. I wonder how you would link stress and longevity. So like, what are the kind of biological markers that you might measure to see whether someone's stress levels are starting to affect their rate of aging? Or how would you see what the impacts of stress have been on someone's aging process?
So one of them, it's important to know your inflammation marker. So if you have a cardiac CRP, it will help you to know if you have already inflammation marker. Second is, take a very good history to really remember that the hidden stressors are as strong, if not stronger, than the ones that we believe are stressors. Second, that is really important, is to check methylation, because a lot of the genes that have to do with detoxification of things that cause stress are related to methylation, okay? Another thing is the genes that are affecting B vitamins, including the methylating because B vitamins are methylated, folic acid that could be methylated, B12 could be methylated. These are very important. B6, B1, are very important. The deficiency of these can make you realizing that you're allostatically depleted, Okay. The other thing is we do a lot of genetic testing, but you got to have someone. I mean, you're dealing with almost 700 to 800 genes that we are testing for. If you don't understand how to play with this, you really don't know how to help people. So we have some genetic testing. We have sex hormones would tell us. If you're under a lot of stress, guess what's going to happen to your sex hormones? They're down. Cortisol could be either up, down, or normal based on where you are on the curve of adrenal fatigue. Are you in the beginning, which is going to be normal? Are you in the accelerated phase or in the declining phase that you're not making cortisol anymore? So checking cortisol would be very important. Checking the metabolites of adrenaline and noradrenaline would be very important. Checking the amount of tyrosine in the body would be very important. Checking the dopamine level through metabolites from the urine would be very important. But you have to have someone who understands how to do these things. So you can do them functionally by getting a urine and find metabolites, or you can do genetically to see if you're predisposed to this, and you can do inflammatory markers and hormonal levels to see, including adrenaline and thyroid. Most people who are under stress, guess what? Their thyroid is always down because they're not making thyroid. That's an indicator.
Yeah.
Low melatonin level would also show you. So that we do that urine metabolites or saliva. But you have to have someone who knows what to order and how to interpret what they ordered.
And because it's all connected and interrelated, if you just get one test, you don't really have a full picture and it's complicated to figure out what to do about it. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, we started by saying cortisol affects 25% of our genes. So you can just imagine. I mean, once it's out of whack, 25% of your genes potentially can be out of whack too.
They are either overexpressed or underexpressed. And depends on if they're overexpressed, it causes something. Underexpressed, it causes something different.
And I would say something really weird, but evolutionary speaking, evolution doesn't want to support any creature that spends his entire life running away from the lion. They would let the lion have it. So that's, you know, that's the wisdom of life. If we're chronically stressed all the time, then maybe we're not supposed to be here.
We won't be here because then your sex hormones are down. You age quicker. I mean, you're not going to procreate.
I think this is amazing. And I'm just thinking that it's starting to become the chicken and the egg, not literally because of all these vegan talks, but like if somebody's stressed, for example, and because their dopamine levels are down, now they're also depressed, then now they're all even more susceptible to stress and there's no hope and there's no this. And so should they start with tyrosine? Should they start with this? No, they should start with getting a complete checkup and see what's the best way to start, because it's all influencing, everything is influenced by everything.
And if you want to be vegan or vegetarian, you need to be an educated vegetarian or vegan. Yeah. So you have the proper B vitamins that are very important. The MSM that is very important, the TMG that's very important, because most people don't even know what these are. We need to create my book about stress because that's very important to me. And we need to really start talking more and having webinars and stuff like
that. I'm super grateful. Thank you so much.
No, I am as well, really. I really want to raise the awareness, I hope, because we're here on a mission, all of us. And we also have intertwined missions. So yours and mine could be now meeting for a purpose. So all of you both are.
And the empowerment piece about stress is that just by somebody reading it and doing what you said, was just stop, just breathe, relax. Maybe that's all they need.
Trust.
Trust life.
Trust.
Maybe that's all they need. They don't need drugs. They don't need anything. They just need somebody to say, it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. I think we have to have a program called It's Okay.
I think so too. Yes.